Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. The story, legislation targets surprise medical billing.
Yeah, there is legislation here in the State House and Senate here in Michigan, and there's also legislation at the federal level. This week in MIBiz, we take a look at the state legislation. And surprise medical billing is an issue that's gotten a lot of heightened attention the last couple of years, especially these egregious examples where you go in for a medical procedure, a surgery, and you end up getting an out-of-network, for example, anesthesiologist on your case, and that anesthesiologist bills you far, far more than what your insurance company pays them. And you're stuck with sometimes a bill of several thousand dollars. And Kaiser Health News here, the last couple of years is putting a lot of attention on this issue of just some really egregious surprise medical billing. And surprise medical billing, that's basically the difference if you have an out-of-network doctor, out-of-network care provider that is not part of your insurance company's care network, does not have a contract with your insurance company. What they bill and what the insurance company pays is sometimes a very significant amount. And if they're an out-of-network provider, you have to pay that amount. So it's led to some legislation, as I say, on the federal and the state level. In Michigan, the legislation is pending, and we talked to the folks at the State Medical Society, Health Plan Association, and Hospital Association, and they're basically, yep, this, especially the egregious behavior, need to do something to get this under control. There's a little differences on the nuances of the bill. Basically, it's a two-pronged attack on this issue. First, if you go in for elective care, hospitals need to give you at least a 24-hour written notice, and you need to sign off on it if you're going to have an out-of-network care provider on your case. Now, that always doesn't work because you have a lot of emergency situations. If it's an emergency situation and you have an out-of-network care provider on your case, then that provider, that doctor, whoever, they can only collect a certain amount above their billing or to their billing. It's actually 125% of the Medicare rate of that service. If Medicare pays X amount, that out-of-network provider can only collect 125% of the amount. And that basically gets the patient out of this mix. The assertion and kind of the view of some of the groups in Lansing that are involved in this debate say the patient should be taken out of the mix. This should be subject to the negotiation between the insurance company and that care provider. And that's essentially what this legislation would do. Although there is some differing of opinion on the exact amount on how much that out-of-network provider should receive.
But somewhere, someone is going to pay for it, and the money comes from where?
Well, ultimately, it's where does that come from? If there's a difference between what your insurance company pays and what that care provider bills, that's up to the consumer, to the patient to pay. What they're seeking to really stop is the really egregious, where you have an out-of-network provider and all of a sudden you have a $25,000, $30,000 bill. Obviously, not too many of us have that much change sitting around. That's what it's really looking to crack down on, as well as just simply get some of these out-of-network providers to maybe work out that arrangement with the insurance companies and get into the network and accept that pay.
Grand Rapids, Whitewater. We have some delays. What's taking place with this project for the Grand River in downtown Grand Rapids?
Well, this is the project first envisioned about 10 years ago. Basically, remove the dams on the Grand River through downtown and restore the rapids through downtown. There was a lot of hope that it could begin by next year. Now it looks like it won't get going until about July 2021. It's a $45 million project. And there are a lot of permits, state and federal permits to go through. So that's part of the process, is going through the permits. And once you do get those permits, this organization, Grand Rapids Whitewater, it can get about $4.1 million in funding from the Federal Natural Resources Conservation Service that will help remove four of the five dams on the river from Bridge Street to Fulton. And ultimately, the last dam, the Sixth Street Dam, will go as well. It's a project that there's a lot of people behind. I think the estimate's about $20 million in economic activity that it will generate annually by more things going on along the river. And it's a project that, again, has a lot of support. But it's going to take time to get through the permitting process to get it going. So they're looking at about a one-year delay in the previously anticipated starting date.
Is this about the sea lampreys and keeping them out of that area?
That's one of the issues. The Army Corps of Engineers is leading an environmental impact study on the lamprey barrier to make sure they have the proper structure and the method of installation, and so you don't cause harm to other species in the river. That's one issue to keep the sea lamprey from getting upriver. And there's other aspects of the federal permitting, removing those dams and increasing that current through the river. So again, it's a process that's taking a little longer than expected, and hopefully by the middle of 2021 to have everything in order to get it going.
Well, the United Auto Workers are on strike. And that is crippling General Motors at the moment. We're in day three. Talks do continue, so that's a good sign. However, if this goes on a week, 2 weeks, what are you hearing? What are the potential impacts?
If this goes on for 2-3 weeks, look out. And boy, doesn't this take you back to our youth. I remember growing up, I'm a Detroit kid, and every 3 years you paid attention to these issues. It was a contract year. And we haven't had a UAW strike against an automaker for a long time. I believe the last one was more than 10 years ago. So it's in day three of the strike. GM shut down, and it's losing quite a bit. Some of the numbers I've seen and reading the reports, about $100 million a day it's costing GM. And it's costing the UAW members quite a bit. These are some high-salary jobs, high-wage jobs, and they're getting $250 a week in strike pay from the UAW. As far as the effects of this, there's been some good reporting on this and a good piece yesterday in the Detroit News talking to folks that this is the first strike since 2010. And if this goes on, there are 14 manufacturing sites shut down by General Motors. If this goes on for maybe 2-3 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, or maybe not even that long, you could see some effects on Michigan's economy. We are an auto-dependent economy. We have just not a lot of GM facilities in our state. We have that supply chain, a lot of suppliers, including suppliers here in West Michigan. So it starts rippling through the supply chain. And when suppliers aren't shipping those parts, they can't continue to operate those lines. So hopefully they will get this solved and both sides will get an agreement that's fair to each side. But it's something we have not seen for a long time now, 12 years. It's in a situation that everybody who's not involved just kind of sits back and says, wow, I hope they get this resolved. But the general consensus is some of the reporting on this the last couple of days is if it goes on for a prolonged period, you could start feeling the effects across Michigan and into the economy.
The positive here, though, and I know that you know this, and that is that a large number of our local parts suppliers, they have diversified over the years, knowing what these strikes can do if you're reliant on the domestic automakers.
And it's not just labor stoppages that affect, but just, you know, sometimes an auto company has a model that just kind of runs its course and it's not selling like it did. So those suppliers have learned the lessons over the last 20 years. And many of the suppliers here are much more diverse than they were back in the 80s, back in the 90s. So they've got that diversity across the entire global auto industry. And they're not affected as much as perhaps they once were by one of the single OEMs. But yet, keep in mind, after the GM strike gets settled, it's a contract year again, and then they go have Ford and Chrysler Fiat contracts to finalize.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.